proceeding in our series entitled The Restoration of the Whole Man, God's Plan for Total Health. This is our third presentation of six. Take courage, we're nearing the halfway mark. And the outline for our series we have taken from a paragraph found in the book Healthful Living, page 19. The first two parts, we focused on this sentence. It is the duty of everyone to become intelligent in regard to disease and its causes. We've grappled with that. Hopefully, we have sought to fulfill our duty in that matter. Now we need to, in turn, turn our attention to the second instruction. I quote, "You must study your Bible in order to understand the value that the Lord places on those whom Christ has purchased at such an infinite price." You see, brothers and sisters, we can know a lot about disease and its causes. We can know a lot about the laws of our physical being. And we can know the fact that in order to have health, we should be living in harmony with those laws, but still not have sufficient motivation to make the necessary changes. Why? Because we have not yet caught the vision at the foot of the cross. The vision of Christ giving his own life's blood to redeem our bodies. Yes, our souls. But Jesus went to die to save the whole man, my brother, my sister. Know ye not that ye are not your own, but ye are what? Bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your what? In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This, I submit, is the absolutely essential motivating factor to help us apply the knowledge that many of us have had for many years to the point of our everyday lifestyle. We are going to carefully study our Bible to understand the value that the Lord places on those whom Christ has purchased at such an infinite price. We're going to do it in two parts. This morning's service entitled A Living Sacrifice, and then the first meeting after our fellowship dinner entitled Abstain from Fleshly Lusts. And then the last two sessions of the day. And oh, I cordially invite you to stay by. I recognize that this is an intensive day, but I submit that as we continue to pray for God's Spirit, we can continue to be benefited from our study of His Word. The last two sessions of the day, we will move to the third sentence of our paragraph. Then, I quote, after we have studied the Bible to understand the value that God places on us, then we should become acquainted with the laws of life, that every action of the human agent may be in perfect harmony with the laws of God. You see, only after we have gone to the foot of the cross and been sufficiently motivated can we appropriately consider with the right attitude and with a willingness to submit to the laws of life that are to govern our human organism. So there you have our outline again. I want to keep bringing you back to that so that you see our flow and our reason for the approach that we're taking. The title of this study is A Living Sacrifice. It is probably one of the most important of our series. And because of its spiritual nature, I want again, as is our practice, to give you opportunity just silently where you are with bowed heads, to invite God's Spirit to be with you, that you might discern the truth as it is in Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we come boldly into your presence. Not because we deem ourselves worthy, but because we know he's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. See, please, see us not as we are in ourselves, but as we are washed with his blood and clothed with his spotless fleece. Grant us an audience and grant our requests, we pray. And our request is for the outpouring of Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Jesus, who is the truth. We need the Holy Spirit, Father. The same Spirit that inspired these precious counsels and insights that we have to consider today. May that Spirit be active to bring home to our understanding and to our hearts these truths. We want not only to intellectually comprehend them, we want to embrace them with our emotions, realizing that it is precious truth that Jesus has died for us individually. And help us to understand the implications of that and our responsibilities as blood-bought children to be a living sacrifice, to glorify God in our bodies. Oh Lord, give me better words than my own, I pray. How desperately I need you to take possession of this earthen vessel. Quicken and energize my mind. Take possession of my lips, my tongue. Loose my tongue that I may speak the truth, but cause it to cleave to the roof of my mouth if I should say anything that would discourage or mislead anyone. And Father, give spiritual hearing aids to each blood-bought brother and sister here. Help them to hear what you want them to hear, nothing more, nothing less. Tailor the words from my mouth, I pray, to meet individual needs. In order for that to happen, we need the miraculous power, presence of your Spirit. So grant it to us abundantly, we pray. This is a vital message, for we cannot be ready to meet you until we learn to live in a harmony with the laws of our physical being and attain optimum personal health. For our spiritual well-being is directly related to our physical well-being. Lord, help us to understand this, I pray. In Jesus' name, and for His sake I ask it. Amen. The title of this study is taken from Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Turn with me there, please. Reading from the New King James Bible, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Note what follows this command. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brothers and sisters, there is not any one of us that doesn't recognize that the Christian must be transformed by the renewing of his mind, that he might prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. But there are many Christians who do not recognize that an essential prerequisite to be, in order for us to be renewed, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, is first learning to what? Present our bodies a living sacrifice. It is only after Paul exhorts us to present our bodies a living sacrifice that he exhorts us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Why is that the case? Because transformation and renewal, mentally and spiritually, can only happen in the context of a healthy physical condition. That's why. Please recognize this point with me. Now, when Paul exhorts us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, he's obviously referring back to the very strict standards of physical health and wholeness required of the animal sacrifices in the Jewish sacrificial system. Those animals that were appropriate to offer God as a sacrifice were to be free from all disease, weren't they? They were to be without blemish, as whole and healthy as an animal could be. Only such would be an acceptable offering to the Lord. Note with me Leviticus For example, and Scripture is full of these instructions. Leviticus chapter 22. Let's pick it up at verse 21. And whoever offers a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow, or a freewill offering from the cattle or the sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. Those that are blind or broken or maimed or have an ulcer or eczema or scabs, you shall not offer to the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them on the altar to the Lord. Verse 23, either a bull or a lamb that has any limb too long or too short, you may offer as a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Verse 24, you shall not offer to the Lord what is bruised or crushed or torn or cut, nor shall you make any offering of them in your land. And that's just one passage that clearly and specifically requires that the animal sacrifice be in good condition, be free from disease. And it is to this that Paul is referring back when he exhorts us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. I read from Councils on Health, page 121. God requires the body to be rendered a living sacrifice to him, not a dead or dying sacrifice. The offerings of the ancient Hebrews were to be without blemish. And will it be pleasing to God to accept a human offering that is filled with disease and corruption? All should be very careful to preserve the body in the best condition of health, that they may render to God perfect service and do their duty to the family and in society. End quote. Why must we be so careful to preserve the body in the best condition? Because only as we do this, again, can we be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Optimum personal health, brothers and sisters, I insist, is an essential requisite to sanctified living and to the development of a holiness of mind that will make us fit citizens for heaven. What does Scripture say? Without holiness, no man shall what? No man shall see God. And absolutely essential to our sanctified living is our healthful living. Why is that the case? That is the case because of the close and intimate relationship between the physical and spiritual dimensions of our being. Because there is such an intimate relationship there, physical and spiritual health and well-being are absolutely inseparable. You see, the mind, which comprehends the operation of our rational and emotional and spiritual faculties, is the function of a physical organ called the what? The brain. If our mental and spiritual health, then, is to be what it should be, our physical health, the health of that physical organ called the brain, must be what it should be. Correct? Absolutely. The heart, can it do its job well, which is pumping blood, if it is not in good physical condition? No. The kidneys, can they do their job well if they're not in good physical condition? No. The brain, can it do its job well if it's not in good condition? No. You see, our mental and spiritual faculties are the function of that physical organ called the brain. And for us to be well mentally and spiritually, we must be well physically. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, what? Service. That is what we owe God This is what we owe our Lord in light of all that He has done for us. And yet few, brothers and sisters, few of us recognize or accept or fulfill our obligation, our reasonable service in this matter. God forgive us. Counsels on Diets and Foods, page 16. The obligations we owe to God in presenting to Him clean, pure, healthy bodies are not comprehended. The obligations we owe to God in presenting to Him clean, pure, healthy bodies are not comprehended. Because we don't comprehend our obligations, we don't fulfill our reasonable service in this matter. So then, brothers and sisters, consider with me our obligations, please. This is particularly important for those of us who have so much knowledge and so much information regarding how to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Ministry of Healing, page 126. Many transgress the laws of health through ignorance, and they need instruction. But the greater number, and this is particularly inclusive of Seventh-day Adventists, but the greater number know better than they do. They need to be impressed with the importance of making their knowledge a guide of life. And what will impress us with the importance of doing that? Coming to recognize more fully our obligations to God, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. I'd like to consider with you four obligations, just briefly this morning. First of all, we are obligated to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God because bearing His likeness, even in our physical being, we are to glorify God in our body. We are to glorify God in our body. In 1 Corinthians 11:7, Scripture tells us that man is the image and glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, we're told, therefore, glorify God in your body. Review and Herald, June 18, 1895. Man is very dear to God because he is formed in His own image. This fact should impress us with the importance of teaching by precept and example the sin of defiling by the indulgence of appetite or by any other sinful practice the body which God, which is designed to represent God to the world. End quote. You see, brothers and sisters, God made us in His image according to His likeness, didn't He? Our whole being is in the likeness of God. Even our physical being bears a likeness to God. Yes, God is spirit, and we are flesh and bone, but God still has form. When Scripture speaks of the hand of God, the eye of God, these are more than just anthropomorphisms, crude attempts to conceive of and understand God better by attributing to Him human characteristics. No, God really has a form. How do we know that? Because He created us in His image. And we bear the likeness of God's form. And our physical being, our physical form, is to bring glory to God. It's to rightly represent God to all we come in contact with. How important, then, to have healthy, fit, presentable bodies. You see, Satan knows well what God intended by creating us in His image, to reveal something beautiful about Himself. And Satan's insane hatred of God drives him to lead men through intemperance and self-indulgence to become wretched physical specimens. And then, do you know what he loves to do? Oh, listen, this should cause us to shudder. I read from Healthful Living, page 25. The results which Satan has through his specious temptations brought about, he uses to taunt God with. He presents before God the appearance of the human being whom Christ has purchased as his property. And what an unsightly representation of his Maker. God is dishonored because man has corrupted his ways before the Lord. Think on that, brothers and sisters. God forbid that Satan should present before God a likeness of us and use it to mock him and say, "So this is your image. Look at it." In light of this obligation to glorify God in our bodies, can we see the importance of learning to heed the command of 1 Corinthians 10:31? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. 31, excuse me. 10:31. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the what? The glory of God." Eating and drinking, those are very basic fundamental health habits, aren't they? Indeed. And all of our eating and drinking should be to the glory of God. I read from Testimonies, Volume 2, page 70. "We cannot love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength while we are loving our appetites, our tastes, a great deal better than we love the Lord. We are daily lessening our strength to glorify God when He requires all our strength, all our mind." Brothers and sisters, may the Lord help us learn to eat and drink, not to gratify self, but to glorify God. If we are eating and drinking to gratify self, by virtue of so doing, we are damaging and deteriorating our physical being, which has direct consequence then on our mental and spiritual faculties. And to the degree that we debilitate ourselves physically, we debilitate our capacity. We lessen our capacity to give glory to God. Think on these things. The second reason that we are obligated to present our bodies a living sacrifice is that we are God's intended temple, created to be indwelt by His Holy Spirit. Think on this with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Think of that tremendous privilege, brothers and sisters. And again, equal to any privilege is the responsibility. Our bodies were intended to be God's own personal sanctuary. How important is it to God that His sanctuary be pure and undefiled? I would invite you to consider sometime the extensive and careful instructions in the Old Testament regarding the keeping the sanctuary pure and free from defilement. And recognize that in a very real sense, those instructions have practical application to the way that we care for our body temple. Because we were intended by God to be His temple. And just as the Jewish people were exhorted to be very jealous regarding the care of that temple that was the center of their whole worship system, so we are to be very careful of this body temple. That is to be the house of the Holy Spirit. Temperance, page 142. Every nerve and muscle, every mental and physical endowment is to be kept pure. God designs that the body shall be a temple for His Spirit. How solemn, then, is the responsibility resting on every soul? How solemn is the responsibility resting on every soul? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, in light of the fact that we are the temple of God, in light of the fact He desires to dwell in us, therefore, do what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises that He will dwell in us, that He will make us His sons and daughters, having these promises, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and what? Spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In order to be fit temples, we not only have to have clean spirits, we have to have clean what? Bodies. Clean bodies. And in order for this to be the case, what must we do? We must come out from among them and be separate. We must not touch what is unclean. We must, if we are to be His temple, for the Lord is to be found in His what? In His holy temple. The Lord is in which temple? His holy temple. If He is to be in us, what must we be then? His holy temple. He indwells our bodies only when they are pure and undefiled, my brother, my sister, to the fullness that He desires to indwell them. And please, I recognize that I add that clause. He comes in initially, praise His name, the moment we invite Him to, even though we may have all sorts of filthiness of flesh and spirit. But is He content to leave us in the state in which He finds us? No. And He will actively and constantly work with us to come apart, to come out from among them and be separate and to touch not what is unclean, so that we may be sanctified. And the degree to which we are sanctified is the degree to which He can indwell us. Therefore, to perfect holiness in the fear of God, what must we do? We must cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Praise God for the promises and the commands. All His biddings are what? Enablings. His grace is sufficient, brothers and sisters. Would He ask us to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit if that was impossible? No. The very fact that He requires it of us is a promise that He will enable us to obey. Have we obeyed His commands? Have we claimed His promise in this matter? Have you? Have I? How can we tell whether we have? Listen. Counsels on Diets and Foods, page 379. Our habits of eating and drinking show whether we are of the world or among the number whom the Lord, by His mighty cleaver of truth, has separated from the world. That's a pretty practical test, isn't it? What is it that determines whether we have obeyed the commands to come apart and be separate, to not touch that which is unclean? I repeat, our habits of eating and drinking show whether we are of the world or among the number whom the Lord, by his mighty cleaver of truth, has separated from the world. You see, again, the world eats and drinks to gratify self. But the Christian eats and drinks to glorify God in his body and in his spirit, which are God's. Has that cleaver of truth separated you, brother, sister, from the world in these matters? Have you allowed your heavenly Father to bring you out and make you separate from the world that eats and drinks to gratify self? Are you eating and drinking only to glorify God? Please be warned that being separate from the world involves being unfashionable in the world, doesn't it? Are you willing to do that? It requires being odd, being a peculiar people. Are you willing to be such for your Lord? Oh, for more Daniels amongst us. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. What was his commitment? Whatever price might be required. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. You see, Daniel knew that he was what? The temple of the living God. And so he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Did Daniel's eating and drinking prove that he was separated by the cleaver of truth from the world? Oh, yes, it did. Does yours? Does mine? But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And what did he ask for rather than the king's delicacies and the king's wine? He asked for pulse and water. Pretty basic fare. Simple, straightforward, unadorned, but wholesome, healthful dietary. How is it with you? How is it with me? He chose at whatever cost to himself to be a nonconformist, to be different, to be unfashionable, that he might keep his body, temple, pure and undefiled. And oh, the direct and dramatic benefits he experienced in intellectual and spiritual, as well as physical well-being and strength. Oh, the godly character he developed. Why? Because he chose to eat and drink to glorify whom? God, rather than to gratify self. That's why. He sowed unto the spirit rather than unto the flesh. Oh, for more Daniels amongst us. The third reason, my brother, my sister, that we are obligated to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God is because having been bought at a price, we are not our own, but God's property. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Right there at the end of verse 19, let's pick it up. And you are not your own. Verse 20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My brother, my sister, we will only seek to glorify God in our body and in our spirit when we appreciate the price he paid for our body and our spirit. Why is an accurate and biblical view of the value God places upon the physical body so vitally important? Why? Why do we need to appreciate the price paid for our bodies before we will seek to glorify God in our bodies? Why? Listen. Temperance, page 17. The lower estimate man places upon the lower estimate men place upon their body, the less they desire to keep it pure and holy. The more reckless will they be in the indulgence of perverted appetite. Did you hear that? The lower estimate you and I place upon our bodies, the less we desire to keep them pure and holy, and the more reckless we will be in indulging perverted appetite. Is not the converse of that true? The higher estimate we place upon our bodies, the more careful we will be to preserve them pure and to refuse to indulge the lusts of the flesh, but rather obey the dictates of the Spirit. Oh, yes, indeed, the converse is true. And where do we come to recognize the true value of the human body? At the foot of the cross, my brothers, my sisters. Our self-worth is found at the foot of the cross. The true value of the human body can be estimated in the price paid to redeem it. And oh, what a price! Is there any limit to the value of the human body then? No, what price was paid? An infinite price, and that's the value that God places upon your body and mine. Think on that with me, please. Are we careless with the care of valuable things? No. We are only careless with the care of worthless things. I challenge you then, discover the worth of your physical body at the foot of the cross, and then care for it accordingly. Care for it accordingly. In the Spalding McGann collection, page 43, the Lord Jesus purchased man, paying for him the infinite price of his own life. Man should estimate himself by the price which has been paid for him. When he places this value upon himself, he will not knowingly abuse one of his physical or mental faculties. End quote. You know what I must conclude from that statement? I must conclude that if we are knowingly abusing one of our physical and mental faculties, it is because we have not gone to the foot of the cross. We have not there been impressed by the Holy Spirit with the value the Lord places upon this body temple. I exhort you then, come daily and recognize your self-worth. And treat that body accordingly. We must realize as well that having been bought with a price, we are not our own. We are not our own. Therefore, we do not have the right to do with our bodies whatever we please, do we? Whose are we? We are God's. This is so often not recognized, brothers and sisters. Healthful Living, page 10. Have I not the right to do as I please with my own body? No. You have no moral right because you are violating the laws of life and health which God has given you. You are the Lord's property, His by creation and by redemption. Every human being is therefore under obligation to preserve the living machinery that is so fearfully and wonderfully made, end quote. You are not your own. I am not my own. Because we've been bought with a price. We are twice God's. By creation and by what? By redemption. Brothers and sisters, we must become three times God. Not only by creation, not only by redemption, but by our own personal choice. No one can make that decision for you. But as you come to the foot of the cross and see the infinite love manifest there, that love will constrain you, as nothing else can, to give yourself fully, without reserve, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that He may sanctify you, cleanse you from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, and restore you to His image. Fourthly, we are obligated to present to God our bodies a living sacrifice, because true sanctification, an absolutely essential experience for those who hope to be ready to meet Jesus when He comes. True sanctification comprehends the whole man, body, mind, and spirit. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, verse 23. This is a beautiful benediction to Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. He says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you," how? Holy. The New King James says, completely. And what does whole or complete sanctification involve? We read on. "And may your whole spirit, soul, and what? Body, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." As those, my brothers, my sisters, preparing for the coming of our Lord, and is that not what the Adventists are all about? Have we lost sight of the whole purpose for our existence as a special people called with a special message? We are Adventists. We are to proclaim the second advent of Jesus. But I ask you, can we proclaim the second advent of Jesus with power and with authority if our very lives manifest that we are not preparing for it? And what is essential to preparation for the second advent? Being wholly sanctified, completely sanctified, coming to the place where by God's Spirit we may be preserved blameless in spirit, soul, and body. Oh, may the Lord help us. Why is it so important for our bodies, even the physical dimension of our being, to be preserved blameless if we are to be sanctified in spirit and soul? Again, because of the intimate relationship between the physical and mental and spiritual dimensions of man's being. I read from Ministry of Healing, page 315. "Whatever affects the body has a corresponding effect on the mind and soul." Did you hear it? "Whatever affects the body has a corresponding effect on the mind and soul." Again, the mind and soul are the function of the brain, which is a physical organ. Therefore, whatever affects the physical dimension affects the mental and spiritual as well. Don't lose sight of that. Healthful Living, page 24. "Everything that conflicts with natural law creates a diseased condition of the soul." Thus we read John's prayer in 3 John. 3 John, verse 2. What is his prayer? What is his wish? "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Essential for a prospering soul is a healthy body. You can't separate the two. You can't separate the two. Peter understood this intimate relationship between physical health and spiritual well-being, didn't he? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Beloved, I beg you. He's pleading with us. Do you hear the earnestness in these words? Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, in other words, as those whose home is not here, but where? In heaven. As those who are looking for the return of their Lord so that they might go home with Him. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the what? The soul. Fleshly lusts war against the soul. Therefore, brothers and sisters, if our souls are to prosper, we must learn to overcome these fleshly lusts. We must learn to refuse to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We must learn to keep the body under. We must learn to deny our perverted appetites and passions that would only debilitate and incapacitate us to reveal God's glory should we indulge them. After our fellowship dinner, I want to focus very carefully with you on this very text. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We need to consider together very carefully and precisely what these fleshly lusts are. And then we need to come to understand how we can, indeed must, learn to abstain from them. Please, stay by. Enjoy temperately a fellowship dinner with us. And then with a clear, refreshed mind, having gone for a little walk, and gotten a little fresh air, let's meet at 2 o'clock as we continue in our series. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, I thank you so much that we are of infinite value. Please, help us at the foot of the cross to recognize that you died for us individually. And help us, recognizing the value of the body that you have purchased with the blood of Jesus, to be motivated to care for it accordingly. Help us, Lord, recognizing that you created us in your image to reveal your glory, to strive to do so to the best of our sin-damaged ability. Help us to be everything physically that we can be for our Lord. Help us, recognizing as well that we were designed to be your temple, to do all we can to be a holy temple, that we might be indwelt with your Spirit, cleansed from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. And then, Father, help us, recognizing that Jesus is coming soon and that we must be wholly sanctified, and that includes being cleansed in body, mind, and spirit, to strive in the few probationary days that remain to attain to optimum personal health, that we might have the strength we need to be true to you when the pressure's on and be fit to go home with you when you come to take us. Oh, Father, help us to recognize our obligations and by your grace, which is always sufficient, to meet those obligations, that we might glorify God in our body and in our spirits, which are His. This is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.